I invite your attention to the reading of God's Word. It's been recorded in two places. First, in the first epistle of Peter, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse. And the second is the Acts of the Apostles, the 6th chapter, and the 1st verse. And as we come to read the Word of God, we are reminded that we do believe that this is the Word of God. And through the Word of God, He is sharing with us all that we ought to believe about Him and all that He requires of us. And because that is so, we pay very close attention to the instructions that He gives to us in His Word as we seek to be His people. First Epistle of Peter, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not eager for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then in the Acts of the Apostles, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12 gathered all of the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, also Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them, and so the word of God spread. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If someone should walk up to you tomorrow and say, "Describe the church to me," what would you say? You know, normally when we come to talk about the church, we talk about it in terms of an institution. We talk about the building and the location in which we find ourselves. We talk about a program, a stewardship. We talk about ministry, a denomination. We talk about theology or how we govern ourselves. You know, and all of these things are important because they describe our life together, but they are not the church. You see, the church is people, a group of people who belong to the Lord, who assemble in His name, and who are bound to Him and to each other. In reality, we are family. We are the covenant community of the family of God's people. The word church literally means a body of people who have come together to listen for a word from God. Let me remind you this morning, it is the Lord who brings us together. And when He brings us together, He has a purpose in doing that. See, and you and I stop to search for that purpose and wonder, why has God brought us together? What are we to do? What are our responsibilities? How are we to live? And as we search for that answer, our attention is drawn back to the catechism of our church. And in the catechism, we find a question that asks this: what is the chief end of man? The answer is given. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And that sounds so good. But how do we do that? Well, we look down to the very next question, and it asks, how do we glorify God and enjoy Him? And the answer is given by loving Him and doing what He commands. See, that's God's purpose for us, to love God, to do what He commands. And to help us understand that and to live in that, there are three major functions that God has assigned to us as His family and His brothers and sisters to each other. The first function He assigns to us is the fact that we are to worship God. In reality, that's why He created us in the beginning, to have a people who would freely and voluntarily worship Him. You know, the people of God have done that right along. I think of David after he had become the king of Israel. The city of Jerusalem had been built and established as the city of God. They didn't have the temple yet, but they did have a tabernacle. And David recognized the time had come to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the very presence of God to the people, into the city of God and place it in the tabernacle. And as the Ark of the Covenant came into the city, those folk had a glorious worship service. It was outdoors, all right, but it was a tremendous worship service. As the streets were lined with people, and as David brings the Ark of the Covenant into the city, there is singing and trumpets and dancing as the people lift their voices and their hearts and their lives in worship and praise to Almighty God. Well, I think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father was named Ahaz. He's not a good guy. He led Israel astray. He introduced to them the worship of foreign gods. He led them into sexual immorality, and he turned the hearts of people away from God. And then he died, and his son Hezekiah came to the throne. The scripture says that he had a heart for God, and he started to undo everything his father had done. He tore down all of the altars to the false gods. He brought the law before the people, and he challenged them to turn from their evil and sinful ways and to give their heart to God again. And the people responded in mass. And then there was the solemn service of rededication in Jerusalem. All of the people of Israel assembled before the temple to offer the burnt offering. And we read that when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets. And the people of God, as they rededicated their lives, gave worship and praise to Almighty God. That was true in that early church in Acts. They came together, and we read that they fasted and prayed and worshiped God. And as they did, the Holy Spirit of God fell upon them. And he said, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. And the great missionary thrust of the church was born. We see that in the revelation of John. He had the privilege of looking into the throne room of heaven. And he saw the Lamb sitting upon the throne. And the host of the redeemed who had gathered around. And they were singing, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for He shall reign forever and ever. Let me tell you, that is God's call for you and me today. We are to be people who come together to worship Him. We come together to meet the Lord, to exalt His name and to give Him the glory, to unite our hearts with those who love Him, and to join our voices with theirs, and the praise and the worship of which He alone is worthy. And you know, when we come to worship, He meets us here, He receives our worship, and then He begins to minister to our needs. The second great function that God has given to the church is to be a congregation that ministers. It was the Apostle Peter who spoke about Jesus, and he said He went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed because God was with him. Indeed, he did that. You remember the day they brought the woman who had been taken in the act of adultery and stood her before him, and demanded that she be stoned according to the law. Jesus dealt with all of those men who brought that woman. And after he had finished, he looked to the woman and said, "Where are those who accuse you?" She said, "There are none, Lord." He said, "Neither do I. Your sin is forgiven. Go and sin no more." And she left his presence, a forgiven, freed woman. That was the multitude of folk who had come to hear him speak. And as the day wore on, hunger began to gnaw at their stomachs. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the people. We read that all ate and were satisfied. That was the leper who called out early one morning, "If you are willing, you can make me whole." He answered, "I'm willing." He laid his hand on the leper's sore and he was cleansed. We watch Jesus dealing with hurting, lonely, desperate people, loving them and ministering to them and caring for them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he longed to be the shepherd of their lives. See, he called you and me today to follow in his steps and to be ministers as we minister to one another. That church in Acts certainly did that. That church took care of the folk who were part of it. And when the needs of the people became so great that they couldn't handle them, they appointed deacons who would minister to the people. And we go back and read about the deacons, and we see them giving the daily distribution of food to the widows and the fatherless. We see them serving the tables. We see them ministering to the needs of people. And all over that congregation, people sold their property, they brought their money, they shared their resources. And as a result, we read an outstanding verse. And it says, "There was not any among them who lacked." See, God's call for you and me is to be ministers, to be servants, to bear one another's burdens, to minister to our brothers and sisters, to meet the needs of the family of God who have come together. That is the purpose for which God brings us into existence. And you know, if you and I are faithful to God's call upon us, it ought to be said, a central church, there are none among them who lack. There is a third function that he gives to us. We are to be disciples. That's what Jesus said. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." To be a disciple is to deny ourselves. Not self-denial. Not giving up a little bit here and there. But to deny self. To deny this drive in us that wants to exalt self, that wants to glorify self, that wants to lift self above all others. To deny ourselves is to look into our lives and see if there is anything that hinders us from being the people of God and following Him. It may be good and honorable and pleasurable, but if it hinders us from being His people, we must deal with it and dismiss it from our lives. We are to take up our cross daily. To take up our cross is not to bear some burden over which we have no choice. To take up our cross is to deliberately take upon ourselves the burdens and needs of others with no other obligation except from the obligation of love. Because God loves us and we love them in Him. Then he says we are to follow him. We're not going to follow a tradition. We're not going to follow a church or a preacher or the elders. We're going to follow him. Years later, it was the Apostle Paul who wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about the fact that he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, and he became obedient to death. We're family. We're the people of God. We're the church. And this is who God has called us to be. A body of people who come to worship, who come to minister and serve, who become the disciples of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you feel about that, but I look at that call of God on my life, and I recognize it's impossible for me to do that. And I struggle, and I stumble and fall, and he picks me up, and I start again, and I continue to stumble and fall and mess it all up. But then he reminds me of a glorious truth. He has provided those who will assist us in fulfilling the purpose for which he calls us into being. We call them ruling elders and deacons. Now, they are not to do the work. They are to lead us in our relationship with the Lord and in our expression of worship. And they are to lead us as we come to minister to one another. And we are the disciples of the Lord Jesus.